Welcome into Proverbs chapter 3. Michael here again. Listen, I hope you've been enjoying this series through Proverbs, really unpacking and learning ancient wisdom from Solomon, one of the wisest people that ever lived in God's Word. You know, again, as we jump into Proverbs chapter 3, I hope you've gotten a group together to kind of help guide you along the way. I love a couple verses. I love all the verses here, but there's two in particular that have been life verses for me, meant a lot. And I got to tell you that this Proverbs really is talking a little bit about trusting in the Lord and some of the things that we need to do in our life to help us really find peace in life. So much chaos in the world, so much peace when we connect with God really, truly, and turn the noise of the world off. Let's pray before we jump in here. Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity today that we can take a moment and get into your word. I pray that those that are listening or watching, that they would truly receive something and let the goal be to pull one or two things out that they can then apply to their lives. I just pray that you would speak through your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are, Proverbs chapter 3, great verses. And again, I'm challenging you as always, get a physical Bible, grab a highlighter, make some notes. There's going to be some resources that we're going to be having as well on the store, on the sites. That way you can download some study guides and some other things. Get yourself a mug as time moves along. Not this one, but some of the other ones we're going to have coming out. But let's jump into Proverbs chapter 3 here, and we'll start there. My child, verse 1, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and you will your life will be satisfying. How about that? So have you ever thought and said, you know what, I would love to live many years, and gosh, I'd love to have a satisfying or good life. I don't think anyone wakes up in life and says, man, I hope my day sucks or I hope my life is miserable, right? I hope I run into massive challenges and things are hard and frustrating. No one wishes that on themselves genuinely. They want to have a great life. They want to live a long life. They want to be prosperous. They want to be in a place where they're making good decisions and enjoying the journey. And that's exactly what this is saying here. In verse 2, it says, if you do this, right? If you store these commands from verse 1, if you store these commands from Proverbs in your heart, then what's going to happen? You're going to have many years on this earth and your life will be satisfying. That's what it's saying. If you hide God's word and these truths in your heart and then live by them, it's not that you avoid all problems and all challenges, but you will know that you'll be living on purpose and with purpose because you'll be walking in God's ways. Verse 3, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. I tell you, sometimes we're in a place where maybe in life people wrong us. They do the wrong thing. They offend us or do something that is inappropriate. And it can cause us to struggle with our loyalty. Now, that doesn't mean that you put yourself in a place that is an abusive environment. Don't do that. Don't be loyal to someone that's continually abusive to you. But think about what you're doing in relation to your loyalty in life. Like be a loyal person. That's the kind of friend that I want. I think that's the kind of friend that you want, somebody that's loyal to you, right? So never, verse 3, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Wow. You know, there's so much noise out there with media and other things trying to tarnish people's reputations. And sometimes it can be challenging to say what really is the truth here. I heard something years ago, this quote, which I love. It says, the truth will defend itself. Now, that's really hard. And I have not always done well with that. Sometimes I've been in places in life where I felt like I've had to try and defend myself. I know this was said and that was said, but let me tell you, here's what actually happened. As I've grown over the years and really watched God's providence and God's hand in my life through different circumstances and situations, I've realized that he's got this. He really does. You know, God is in control of everything. And if I really trust in that fact, then I'm going to be in a place where I'm going to be willing to grow me and develop me and try and live in an honoring way. And when it's time, speak up, but when it's time, quiet and allow the truth to defend itself in a lot of ways. And that's hard because now you're putting the responsibility of being the truth tellers, if you will, on the shoulders and the back of the Lord, and realizing and really believing that everything is in His hands. Boy, that's a place of faith that you get to in life. But that's kind of what it's telling us here. You'll earn a good reputation. The truth will defend itself along the way. Because why? Because you've been loyal and you've been trustworthy. So important. And by the way, those things will apply well in every aspect of life, not just your spiritual life, your family life, your marriage, your relationship with your kids, your business, and all of those things. Verse 5 and 6, these are two of my life verses. Of course, I've highlighted them, so I'm going to challenge you to maybe do the same if they connect well with you. Verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Now, there's different versions of the Bible. I mentioned that I'm reading out of the NLT, which is the New Living Translation. How I learned those scripture was in a different version, which says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, and in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So it's very similar here. It says, seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Now, the key here is it starts with trust in the Lord. It doesn't say trust in yourself, trust in your friends, trust in the media, right? It says, trust in the Lord. The only way that we can learn to trust in the Lord is to understand what God's word and God's wisdom has to say. The more we understand about God, the more we can learn to trust in Him. The more we see God move in our life, the more we can learn to trust in Him. And so this is an act of our will and our desire to say, okay, I don't have everything figured out, and I am going to willingly choose to trust Him. Now, notice that it says, trust the Lord with all of your heart, not some of your heart. Maybe you've been in a relationship before where that relationship that you've had has kind of been guarded. In other words, you know that there's some connection and there's some trust and there's some maybe elements of intimacy, but it's not 100%, and you can just sense it and feel it. Like maybe the other person is just not all in for reservation of whatever it may be. Maybe they've been burnt in the past. Maybe they've been abused in the past. Maybe they've been abandoned in the past. Maybe they've been let down in the past. And so what that's done is that's caused them in the relationship to be hesitant. I love the old quote that says, do or do not, there is no try. I remember when I was on the book field, we used to use that quote because we were knocking doors 80 hours a week and it was challenging. And we literally had to put our minds in a place where we said, we're either going to do this or not, but we're not going to try. We're going to do it, right? And in relationships, sometimes we've had experiences where people have been hesitant. And that's sometimes actually how we can show up to the Lord. Well, I'm going to trust God if this, or I'm going to trust God if that. If God delivers, oh, I dropped my highlighter. If God delivers here or there, then I'm going to trust Him. If He doesn't, I won't. That's a hesitant trust. That's hesitating with your trust. And again, if you've experienced that in a relationship, you know what I'm talking about. What the Bible is telling us here is that we are to, and I'm going to put this back up on screen, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let me say that again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. There was a thought before that was said, you know, if the thought came from you, you may not want to trust it because our minds can be all over the place, especially when we are pulled with media and oversensory things in our world today. But this is so important. And this is something where I've had to ask myself the question, and I want to challenge you to ask yourself this question is, do you trust the Lord? Maybe you do. Maybe you think you do. Maybe you don't at all. Maybe you're like, you know what? I'm not going to trust God. Mike, you don't know the situations that I was in when I was younger. You don't know what I went through. You don't know what my challenges were. Well, I got to tell you, I know that there's things that have happened outside of me. I was blessed to grow up with kind of a Leave It to Beaver family. My dad worked hard. It wasn't perfect. My mom was at home. But my wife, on the other hand, grew up in a very different situation, abusive, challenging. And so through these things, I've learned a lens that I never had before. And I've learned lenses about how the world is corrupt and there's challenges and there's abuse and there's situations that arise in people's lives in ways that I never experienced. It's given me a different lens. But the question really we have to all fundamentally get down to is, do we trust the Lord? And maybe your answer is no, and that's okay. Stay on the journey. All right, let's jump to verse 7. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord. Remember that healthy, reverent fear, respectful. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Don't be impressed with yourself. This is a great test. If you're in a place in life where you've had some success, and I've been there before, where you can kind of get prideful, right? You're in a place where you are doing everything right in your own mind. I've certainly been there before. And then all of a sudden, God allows some things into your life that causes you to kind of be put in your place, if you will. And when that happens, we can choose to want to do one or two things. We can either choose to embrace that as an opportunity to grow and develop, or we can say, you know what, and get hard-hearted and go the other direction. It's a choice that we have. But I think a great warning here, verse 7, it says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Verse 8, then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce. You know, there's some verses that I'm not going to get into right now in Deuteronomy talking about it is the Lord who gives you the ability to get wealth. You see, when we start to understand that we really don't have control, when we start to understand that, you know, as it says here, I'm going to pull this back up on screen, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. When we start to really understand that these things that we think we produce, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it talks about the fact that everything we have, I'm paraphrasing, is from the Lord. He is the one, God is the one who gives you the ability to get wealth. What do I mean by this? Neither you nor I have the ability to determine whether or not 10 minutes from now, 20 minutes from now, 20 years from now, 2 days from now, we do not have the ability to determine whether or not we are going to take another breath in those seasons. It's out of our control. And so when we start to think about life that way, we start to realize that God is the one who gives us the ability to do what we do. Now, the reason we have challenges in this world is because of sin. Sin came into this world at the very beginning, Adam and Eve. By the way, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, in case you're wondering. Go back and check it out. But at the end of the day, that's where this came from. And so we're to honor God with what we have, as it talks about in verse 9, because we realize that things are a blessing from Him. Now, work, even though sometimes we don't love work, right? The old take this job and shove it song, right? But at the end of the day, when we look at work as an opportunity to actually do something and do it well, there's a verse, I believe it's in Galatians, that says we're to work as unto the Lord, not unto men. So with that, if we learn to honor the Lord and take some of what we've made and give it to organizations or places that are really doing great work to help others in need, truly others in need, we're being honoring to verse 9 here. Verse 10, then you will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. So the response of honoring the Lord with the first parts of our wealth, right, is that basically we're going to be blessed. Now, you don't do it for that reason. I want you to understand that. You don't give to get. You do it because you want to add value and you want to be faithful to what the Lord calls us to do. Verse 11, I've highlighted 11 and 12. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when He corrects you. For the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Now, again, I know some of you have had situations where you've been corrected and disciplined out of anger. I haven't always done it right in my life, I can tell you that, but there's lots of times that I have gotten it right with our children. And I got to tell you, as a parent, if you're not disciplining or correcting your child, God put them in your hands so you could help guide them. The evidence of an undisciplined child is those in our society today that are all over the place doing things that just don't make sense. And you see that, and I see that all over. That's because the parents have not made the effort to discipline and correct the child. It talks about here, the Lord corrects those he loves. It helps us to get better. It helps us to improve. Verse 13, joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom, now listen to this. I want you to tune into this. Listen to what Solomon says. Remember, the wisest person and the richest person, by the way, a lot of money, a lot of women, a lot of wives. Here's what he says. He says, wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Verse 15, wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left hand. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. That means you're chasing after wisdom. Wisdom doesn't just happen upon you. You have to go after it. You have to seek it. Just like you taking time here with this podcast or video, however you're connecting with us here, you have to make an effort to make this priority. By wisdom, verse 19, the Lord founded the earth. By understanding, he created the heavens. By knowledge, the deep fountains of the earth burst forth, and the dew settles beneath the sky. I'm going to jump into 21, verse 21 real quick, but I want to challenge you. If you're like me and you got some ADD, ADHD, or whatever it is, right? Your mind's all over the place. It's okay to press pause. Take a minute, unplug, take a walk, do jumping jacks, walk around, get a drink, and then come back into this. Because the goal is you want to be in a place where you retain and connect and engage with conversations. If you're leading a group, find spots it's okay to do to press pause and have conversations. Be willing to do that as we go through these 31 chapters, just some guideposts along the way. Verse 21, my child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. Some of us need some sound sleep in life, right? You need not to be afraid of sudden disaster or destruction that comes upon the wicked, for the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Verse 27, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them. You know, I had referenced this in videos past, but talking about the idea of if you have the ability to help someone else, maybe they are in front of you with the need that they have because God knew that you can help them. And this is what it's telling us here. It says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow and then I'll help you, right? I'm in need right now. I have a need. I'm hungry. I'm whatever. And you know what? That's great. Why don't you come back tomorrow? We'll take care of it later. Verse 29, don't plot harm against your neighbor, for those who live nearby trust you. Verse 30, don't pick a fight. I have this highlighted. Don't pick a fight without reason when no one has done you harm. This makes me think of people that are just bickering. That's an older word, but do you know people in life that just continually try and just pick and pick and pick? It's almost like every kind of conversation, regardless of what it is, their goal, it seems like, is to turn it into an argument. Don't pick a fight without reason. My challenge to you is have conversation, but don't look for things that you can try and stir up strife. Try and actually do the opposite. Try and encourage. Verse 31, don't envy violent people or copy their ways. Such wicked people are detestable to the Lord, but he offers his friendship to the godly. Verse 33, the Lord curses the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the upright. I'm talking to the men here. You are leaders, God-designed leaders of your home, of your spouse, of your family. It's the way God designed it. Are you leading your family in a way to allow the opportunity for God's blessing on your home or not? It's not easy to sit down with your kids from time to time because life's busy to do devotions and spend time in the Word, but it's important. Your kids are watching you. They need you. Lead them well. And put yourself in a place where you can, as verse 33 says, but the Lord blesses the home of the upright. Verse 34, the Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools are put to shame. Boy, some really great verses here and thoughts in Proverbs chapter 3. Again, I want to challenge you. That was a lot of information, and I know it's not normal for us to sit down for 20, 25 minutes or whatever it is and kind of go through these things, but I want to challenge you to press pause, rewind, listen, tune in. Maybe there's just one or two things that stood out to you along the way. Write those down, recite them, think about them, and maybe it's the verses that stood out to me, which is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord. I'll read them in the NLT version, so that way we're all on the same page. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Walk away with something that you can apply then to your life. Be blessed, and we'll see you at Proverbs chapter 4.